Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As Speaker, all I ask and frankly expect is that we disagree without being disagreeable. In return, I pledge to help each of you carry out your duties. My door, of course, is always open. I don't get carried away with it, all right, but it's always open.
Yeah, it's always open to the neighborhood bar. That's what you hear is the clinking in the background. Welcome to the Savage Nation. John Boehner is still Speaker of the Louse. It confirms once again what we have known forever, which is that the country is no longer a republic. It is still an oligarchy, a government of the powerful, by the powerful, and for the powerful, and that John Boehner is a tool of the establishment, meaning he and Obama are one and the same. What this tells you is that the government is immune to the people be damned. And the fact of the matter is, where does that leave us, the audience and the host of the Savage Nation in this case? Now, I have introduced a whole new concept in radio called unprotected talk. What does that actually mean? It means that I am sort of the tour guide of this tour called the Savage Nation. But you, the passengers, will tell me where you want the tour to go every day. I promise you only one thing. I will not take you over the Grand Canyon of lies with my program. But the topics should vary. They have to vary. How many of the average people in America listening to this show or watching television or scanning the dial really even know who John Boehner is? How many of the people out there really know that there's even a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? The answer is they know the government is immune to them. They know that it's futile to fight City Hall. So you can imagine what it's like when you try to fight Federal Hall. The fact is, Federal Hall has never been more immune to the people than it is today. We are back where we started before the American Revolution. We may as well have a British government running America from 3,000 miles away, as well as we have Obama and Boehner running America from 1,000 miles away. I will not take you over the Grand Canyon of lies. I will take your calls at 855-400-7282. It is, again, unprotected talk. And we're going to talk about unprotected talk. The most telling picture of the day is to be found on the top of the Drudge Report. There is the disgrace himself, John Mantan Boehner, hugging none other than the most despicable woman in American politics, Nancy Pelosi. What does this bear hug symbolize other than he did their bidding? He went to her, he gave her a hug, and he looks like a little boy being hugged by Mama Bear. John Boehner, look at the picture. He looks like a satisfied little boy who's being hugged by the Mama Bear who really runs the show, Nancy Pelosi. So you can expect more of the same rather than less of the same. You can recognize that the election was for naught. It had no meaning whatsoever. And you can brace for taxation without representation to continue. You can also brace for an imperious president who will veto virtually any bill that might, just might, make it to his despicable desk. The fact of the matter is stocks are sinking. Why are stocks sinking? If everything's coming up roses with this oligarchy, why do you think the stock market's in the toilet? Meanwhile, in New York, two New York police officers have been shot and wounded in the Bronx. They were responding to an armed robbery. They got into a gun battle, and they were shot. Why do you suppose the police officers were shot? It's because they thought before shooting. In the past, they would have shot first if they were being shot at. They would have returned fire more quickly, is what I'm saying. But because of the bloody-o, and because of Holder, and because of Obama, they're more hesitant to fire back. They're getting shot. They're getting killed. And so this is what happens in a lawless society run by lawless men. There's an article today in the Washington Times that goes to this subject. The real racial bias. Cops more willing to shoot whites than blacks, research finds. Thank you, Eric Holder. You've done your job. The article is interesting. It reads like this. It's widely assumed that white police officers are more likely to shoot black suspects as a result of racial bias. But recent research suggests the opposite is true. An innovative study published in the Journal of Experimental Criminology found that participants in realistic simulations felt more threatened by black suspects, yet took longer to pull the trigger on black men than on white or Hispanic men. Thanks, Al Sharpton. This behavioral counter bias might be rooted in people's concerns about the social and legal consequences of shooting a member of a historically oppressed racial or ethnic group, said the paper, which went practically unnoticed when it was published online on May 22nd, but has taken on new significance in the wake of a series of high-profile police-involved shootings involving black victims over the summer. The results back up what one of the researchers, University of Missouri St. Louis professor David Klinger, has found after independently interviewing more than 300 police officers. While they don't want to shoot anybody, they really don't want to shoot black suspects. Here's what he said. Across these 300 interviews, I have multiple officers telling me that they didn't shoot only because the suspect was black or the suspect was a woman or something that would not be consistent with this narrative of cops out there running and gunning, said Mr. Klinger, a former cop and author of Into the Kill Zone, A Cop's Eye View of Deadly Force. He went on. He said, when it comes to the issue of race, I've never had a single officer tell me I didn't shoot a guy because he was white. I've had multiple officers tell me I didn't shoot a guy because he was black, Mr. Klinger said. And this is 10, even 20 years ago. Officers are alert to the fact that if they shoot a black individual, the odds of social outcry are far greater than if they shoot a white individual. I could go on with the article, but you can read it yourself on the Drudge Report. The fact of the matter is, it is now open season on white people and apparently closed season on other people. As a result, not only of Al Sharpton, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and the vermin in the media, but a result of many other factors as well. Again, the main story is John Boehner has survived the attempted coup by the true American conservatives who were elected, by the way, by the people. John Boehner was not really recently elected by the people, for the people, and of the people to be Speaker of the House. He is nothing but a man who works with the established structure that is in place. And you can expect there will be new taxes, new regulations, and new controls over the taxpayer. You will expect that the debt will continue to go through the roof under John Boehner. You will expect the oligarchy will continue to answer to the Wall Street powers that truly run the country. There's another side note to this that I must mention. Last night, a certain TV host went on the air and said his reputation is on the line. He is going to make certain that Boehner falls. He is going to make certain that Boehner is defeated. He's going to make certain that Boehner is no longer Speaker of the House. Well, that poor TV host now has egg all over his face. He should realize that he doesn't have the power he thinks he does. It's unfortunate, but many people in radio and television think that they have tremendous powers and that their every breath is listened to by the powers that be. Have these media fools now drunk their own Kool-Aid? Do they not understand that they are powerless and that they're just marionettes and clowns and tools of the establishment as well? Again, I am the bus driver of this tour, the tour guide, if you want to put it that way. You, the listeners, are the passengers on this tour. And by calling 855-407-2282, you will tell me where you want this tour to go. I promise you only one thing as your tour guide. I will not take you over the Grand Canyon of lies. And now I have an important announcement to make that will really be announced tomorrow, more formally announced tomorrow. For months now, I've been trying to tell you I'm putting together a scholarship for conservative students. Well, it's going to become real. The Savage Paul Revere Society's What Does It Mean to Be an American essay contest will be formally announced tomorrow on this program. And five lucky kids are going to win $10,000 a year for 2 years. That's a total of $100,000 for the whole prize in the year 2014 from Michael Savage. What I'm trying to do is to promote traditional American conservative values in the colleges. You see, there are many students who love this country, but they're afraid of their communist professors. Well, I'm going to help them get through college. The contest will begin on January 15th at 12:01 a.m. Pacific time, and it will close on March 31, 2015, on my birthday, God willing. The contest will be open only to U.S. citizens. You like that one? I guess you like it. It is not open to illegal aliens. This contest for students is open only to United States citizens who are 17 years of age or older. And you'll see more about what it require, what the requirements are and how to apply and how to enter. You'll see what the essay should consist of. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Right now, there is an article being written about this important conservative contest for kids, I would say students, by WorldNet Daily. It'll be up tonight, and we'll have more to tell you about tomorrow about the conservative scholarships. They're called the Savage Paul Revere Society's What Does It Mean to Be an American Essay Contest? Because I want to leave the world a slightly better place than I have found. And what I do is try to do it every day through my shows, through my books, through my working on the environmental issues I've worked on all of my life, such as my great work on ethnobotany, where I am a pioneer, despite the fact that morons who do not understand what's going on in the world of science think that it was just a joke. But it isn't a joke. My collections are in seven herbaria around the world. Well, now I want to give scholarships to deserving kids who don't come from rich families, who do not have any other financial aid. I've been meaning to do this since 2008 or 9, and I got sidetracked when I was shockingly banned in Britain by the then Labour UK government. I spent 5 years fighting the government of England. It cost me $400,000, and guess what? I got nowhere. The lawyers were happy to take my money. The government never took my name off the list. I am still unable to visit England, which is a shame because I still admire the British people. The government, unfortunately, is not the people, just as our government is not the people. It's a world unto itself. All those years that I was struggling to get my name off the despicable list of murderers and terrorists, I was told I should wait until Cameron came to power because he was a conservative and he would immediately remove my name. Well, it's been quite some time since Cameron came to power, and just like his Labourite predecessor, he's done nothing. Well, I wasted 4 years on that one. Then I was in a legal battle with my former syndicator. That took a lot of time and a lot of money, and I was sidetracked again. But now that all of that stuff is kind of behind me, and I'm in the clearing of my life, and I can focus more on what I really want to do, I have finally found the wherewithal to work on this over my vacation and put it together for the announcement today. Unlike others, I did not take a vacation. And I don't want a halo for it, nor do I expect a reward for it. I enjoy the work I do. So what's the point of vacation? What do I have to vacate from? Those who need a vacation need to vacate from their hard work on the radio. But I don't need to vacate from my hard work on the radio. It is my work. It is my life. And so over the holidays, I worked with some people. I put together the Savage Paul Revere Society Conservative Scholarship for College Students. What does it mean to be an American essay contest? And you'll learn more about it as the days go on the Savage Nation. I invite you to tell your kids, your nephews, your nieces, your friends, if they don't have financial aid, to apply for this contest. It is not insignificant. $10,000 a year for 2 years is $20,000 each, five winners, $100,000. You can laugh at it if you want, but I don't see anyone else in the media doing anything more, do you? All they do is attack me and carpet me. But I'm trying to make a difference in the world, in a world where there is no difference to be made most of the time. Maybe I can't do much about Boehner. Maybe I can't do much about Obama, except point out what they're doing to us behind the scenes and, frankly, in front of the curtain. But I can do very much for kids who don't have the opportunities that some might have by helping them go to college while holding on to their love for America. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, do you want to dance with Michael Savage? 855-400-7282 is the phone number to verbally dance. Yep. It's a big world out there. So you say, well, if we can't do anything about the political structure, what's the point of listening to talk radio? Well, we can do an awful lot about a lot of other things as well. Here you have a flu vaccine that's only 30% effective, and yet the idiot in charge of the NIH tells you to get the shot anyway. Now, would you know that unless I explained it to you in detail? No. I can help you with health, science, poetry, art, literature. I can help you with a lot of things. In the sense that I'm interested in a lot of things and I've studied a lot of things and I have something to offer on a lot of things. When it comes to politics, yeah, I have insights. I can tell you what's going on. But as we see, it's almost futile. We're living in a despotic oligarchy. We may as well be living in a, I was going to say banana republic, but it really is a Boehner republic. Boehner and banana are kind of a synonym for each other today. But Boehner is the top banana, whether you like him or not. And the top banana is a Boehner, or the top Boehner is a banana. You may as well be talking to a banana as talk to Boehner. Line one, you're on the Savage Nation, Unprotected Talk. Tell us your name and city, please.
Justin, Wafalit, Tennessee, and I'm listening through KSFO streaming.
Wow, everyone listens on that one. What's your topic?
Well, I had a quick point I wanted to make. I'm a huge fan of your Unprotected Talk. I've been listening for 10 years, since I was 22 years old, and I love the format.
Well, I'm glad. I think a lot of people love it. They do. It's caught on like a wildfire.
Yeah, it keeps me on my toes, keeps me from getting overloaded with politics, because you can only take so much Obama.
That's my point, and that's how I feel. How much can we take of this garbage of these villains in Washington?
Gives me a migraine.
Well, there's a lot more in the world than what these villains are doing, right?
Exactly, sir. My topic that I wanted to address with you today, Michael, is the moral, I won't call it the moral decline, I'll call it the moral rot of America. Two stories this week really got my attention. The first was a 74-year-old is getting a sex change. A man is getting a sex change.
Isn't it a little too late for that?
Yeah, well, it's...
What doctor would talk a man into a sex change at that age unless the doctor was crazy himself?
I don't know, but Medicare is going to be paying for it.
Well, of course. Isn't that the Obama way?
Yeah, and it's...
In other words, in the sick world in which we live, a boy is not a boy, a girl is not a girl unless they tell you they are. Now, that is sick. That's mentally ill. If you're born with something, you're a man. And if you're not born with it, you're a woman. How you choose to act is another story, but don't change reality.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Go about their daily business without bearing arms, as occurred in the Roman Empire as it continued to fall apart. Yes, it was degrading. And it was falling apart, but the average Roman went about his daily business. He went to the granary, he went to the bakery, he went to the fields, he went to his trade. And yet Rome continued to decline because of the corruption of the leaders. And America is very much like that declining Roman Empire. What does it mean to you, though? What does it mean to the average person listening to this show? I don't know. It means very little right now. In the sense that, does it really affect your daily life? No, but what is being done right now with, for example, by the oligarchy bringing in tens of millions of illegal aliens, your life will change in your lifetime. Your children will not be living in America. Your children will be living in a third world cesspool. You know, I listen to these liberals talk about liberalization of immigration laws, and I know how foolish they are. They're talking in an academic fashion as though all of these immigrants come here to work, that none of them are criminals. None of them come here to suck off the welfare system. They're all just so sterling, and they're so much better than the average American, aren't they? They're going to save America. I mean, that's not the truth. The truth is that 30% of our prison population consists of illegal aliens. Why were they arrested? Because of racism? Or because they murdered someone? Or drove someone down while drunk, or raped somebody, or committed some other crime they finally got caught and convicted for after doing many other crimes. So you see, not all immigrants come here to work. Many come here to work the system. And don't assume that these millions that Obama and Boehner are going to bring in are any different. How in the world can you tell me that this is good for the economy when of the 100,000 or so women and children that were brought in here by the trainload this summer, are they working? Can you name one of them that took a job? You mean there's now child labor in America that permits a five-year-old Guatemalan to work? You mean the illiterate mother who's 15 years old is now working somewhere? Where is she working? She's not working. It's because of the corruption of Baptist Family Services. It's because of the corruption of Catholic Charities. It's because of the corruption of the churches who were compromised by Obama that we see this massive influx of illegal aliens. And so the oligarchy is in on the fix. You know and I know Obama's going to do anything he wants. And you know and I know that Banana is not going to do anything to stop him. The Banana will simply go for a banana daiquiri in Jacksonville when it's all over and sit on his condominium deck and look out at the Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico, wherever it may be, when he retires. And he'll laugh at all the fools who thought that he represented them. And so what I say to you is today, we're going about our business. Most of us don't feel any changes really in our lives on a daily basis. But the changes are in the air and the changes are coming and they're all for the worse. They're not for good. They're for bad. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. This is the stuff that nations are made of, and this is the stuff that nations are destroyed by, which is a nation that is ruled by an oligarchy generally doesn't work out well for the people. For example, China's ruled by an oligarchy. Well, the average Chinese might say it's much better now than it was under Mao Zedong. That was an absolute dictatorship. Or you could look to North Korea. And Kim Jong-un is an absolute crazy man, a Hitler and Stalin combined. So the average North Korean knows very much what a dictatorship is. An oligarchy is a little different than a dictatorship. Sometimes there's a benign element to an oligarchy. But when there is no benign element to an oligarchy, it becomes an absolute tyranny. You understand the difference? So right now, well, we can pretty much worship as we wish. We have freedom of religion. Right now, we can't really speak what we think or we'll lose our job, that you know. So we've lost freedom of speech. Right now, you're free to write anything you want on the Internet, but go try to get it published. So do we really have freedom of the press? I don't know. You decide. But the fact of the matter is, we're in a new phase in the history of mankind under Barack Obama, who was the first American dictator of a sort of benign variety. He marks a new phase in the history of America, a new phase in the history of mankind, because of what he is doing to reshape not only America, but the world as well. He has aggrandized more power to himself than any president in history, not for the good of America, but for the good of the special elements that selected him. I guarantee you one thing with Unprotected Talk. I'll analyze the news, and I will not take you over the Grand Canyon of lies. But let's go back to the Unprotected Talk. Line 5, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. This is Deborah. I'm from Frederick, Maryland, listening to you from WMAL.
Oh, the powerhouse in the heart of the monster. You know, that's an interesting state. You know that MAL is an interesting station? I have a 3.0 share. It's a huge ratings. One of the highest in talk radio in a day part. Somebody is listening to me in Washington, D.C., and you're one of them.
Oh, I definitely am.
So but, what's on your mind today?
Well, I had two comments. One, do these idiots that reelected Boehner not realize that the Speaker of the House is third in line for the presidency?
Well, what would that matter, though? Top Banana is no different than Obama. He does what he's told to do.
It's terrifying that there's a possibility Boehner could be president, you know. But anyway, also Obama said when he granted this blanket immunity that they must learn English and get to the back of the line. How come I still have to go through press one for English?
Well, they don't have to press one for anything. They get a check the minute they get here. Baptist Families and Children's Services, Catholic Charities. These people are living large. They're doing real well. Oh, they're living large. Yeah, it's not like your father or your grandfather. No, they were moved to the top of the line. You know that. The debt is up $7.5 billion. Is it billion or trillion? I don't even know. $7.5 billion. 3, 6, 9, 12 zeros? That's a lot of zeros. I can't even count them. That's on the top of the Drudge Report. Debt up 7.500, and the answer is uh-oh. What is Obama doing? He's like King Ludwig II of Bavaria. He is bankrupting the treasury. Line 2, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, hi, Mike. Mike from New York. Hello?
Yeah, New York, WABC topic. Go ahead.
I just want to give you a compliment. When you were pulling the pictures out of that box a couple weeks ago and talking about them, great radio.
Wait. What? Oh, when I did that, taking the family pictures out. and I just went right off on a tangent on any picture as it occurred to me.
Yes, I've been trying to reach you for like 2 weeks since you did that show. That was great.
I took a chance with it, you know. I mean, what can you do? Either you set new standards in radio or you fall asleep and become like Morse all over you.
Well, I just wanted to compliment you, Mike. That was great radio. God bless you. Thank God you're back on the radio.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. See, people hear everything you say, and they notice everything you do, but you don't know it. When you have a mass market audience, as we do in radio, someone's hearing every breath, every snort. I mean, I just ate Chinese food. I'm sorry to tell you. You probably heard me digest. I can't help it with the Chinese food. But I learned my lesson. I'm not going to the Indian buffet again. I drove by it yesterday from the highway. I saw that the truck with the killer dogs and they were gone. I don't know. I don't think any more road stops are in my future. 855-407-2282. Get ready for more taxation without representation under Top Banana, named Boehner. Line 8, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you. My name is Mark. I'm calling from Detroit, WJR, AM 760.
Detroit is the home of my new Hellcat, which has been finished by Chrysler. And I want to thank Sterling Heights Dodge for making this happen and Chrysler itself. This went all the way up the chain. I'm sorry to get off the track, but I got to tell you, I'm so excited. The car should be here soon. I don't know if I can mention his name, but the legendary radio host, Paul W. Smith. Do you listen to him on WJR?
Oh, I do.
He's a legend. He actually stepped in on my behalf and reached out to the president of Chrysler, the CEO and president of the Dodge brand and of Chrysler itself, to make this car happen. Would you believe it? And I want to thank Paul W. Smith. I want to thank all the people involved. And when that car comes, you're going to hear those tires spin. So what's on your mind?
You know, I've been wanting to reach out to you for quite some time. It was funny that you kind of segue to what I wanted to talk to you about. You were mentioning earlier, just a couple callers back, about the illegals and the criminals and being in prison and all that kind of stuff.
And, all right, so you're glad I mentioned it then? Is that it? Thanks for the call. Line 2, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead. May have to eliminate unprotected talk if the people are not ready. Line 1, go ahead. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
My name's Ron.
Yes, and station and topic.
The station is WJR 760, Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, sir, and the topic is...
Is, I have a question. Have you ever heard George Bush, the old man, the senior, ever say in 1991 to Congress, we are headed for a one-world government, whether you like it or not, whether you're Democrat or Republican makes no difference. Have you ever heard that?
No, I really didn't, but you apparently are quoting the old Bush.
Yes, I am, because I got a DVD with his voice and his picture saying it.
Well, then that tells us exactly why his other son is now being pre-selected, doesn't it?
Sure does.
In other words, we didn't have enough with 4 years of him and 8 years of GW. What, we need 8 years now more of Jeb? That's what America's waiting for?
See, now I'm not trying to change the subject, but if you go and read David Rockefeller's memoirs, you will find in there that he's the father of the creation of the Trilateral Commission.
Yes, I'm aware. I know the Trilateral Commission. I've studied the commission. I've studied the Bilderbergs. There is a ruling elite that runs the world. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because there are two guys that were on the board of the directors for David Rockefeller, and his name was Henry Kissinger, and the other guy was Zbigniew Brzezinski.
The Brzezinski guy gives me the chills.
Well,
Brzezinski is one of the most, I would say, vulturous-looking individuals that I've ever seen. Now, of course, his daughter is on MSNBC. That fits, doesn't it?
Right. And when I take a look at all the stuff, I can explain why there's no border checks between the United States and Mexico, is because they want to open a border And what it's really doing is eliminating our sovereignty.
Correct. The barbarians break the empire into east and west, my friend, is the story about the Roman Empire in the 3rd century. Because in the 3rd century, the Roman Empire was decaying socially, it was disintegrating morally, and it faced the barbarians. Let me repeat that sentence, because I think we see history repeating itself. In the 3rd century, the Roman Empire was decaying socially, it was disintegrating morally, and it faced the barbarians. But what does that mean to the average Roman? Well, the average Roman went about his business. Even though the frontiers were crumbling, even though the armies were fighting foreign wars, all along the Rhine and the Danube, enemies were pressing against the Roman Empire. Does that sound like our Rio Grande? Because they're not our friend. All along the Rio Grande, enemies were now pressing the Roman Empire. But I don't mean the Roman Empire, I mean the American Empire. So they are repeating our history now in America, and the results will not be good for the average American, because eventually this barbaric invasion will break the empire, will break the empire, which is exactly what Obama was put in power to do. Now, who are the barbarians? Well, let's say the Islamists. Would anyone argue with that? The Islamists are certainly barbarians, aren't they? Let's see. You would argue no? Let's see. They enslave women. They rape women. They kill children. They cut the heads off men. They burn. They kill. They murder. They don't cure anything. They don't create anything. I would say that's a good definition of a barbarian. And yet Obama wants to bring in as many of their fellow travelers as he possibly can under the guise of humanitarian relief. I'm not saying he would bring in overtly bring in Islamists, but how many of these Muslim refugees are Islamists? Well, you wouldn't know, or I wouldn't know, because there is no control in the terms of screening them. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Now.
Well, it's that time of day on the Savage Nation. I've had my two Chinese meals, and so I have two Chinese fortune cookies to open on air. I can't help it. I still open them. I mean, it's idiotic, I realize, but how can you resist? So here's the first one. Let's see. This goes with the salt and pepper shrimp. You can hear me opening the fortune cookie with the pieces falling in the tray. And now we are going to the fortune. A new relationship is about to blossom. You will be blessed. Okay, I better open the second one real fast. Let's see what the second one. The second one will say, an old relationship is about to blossom. You better watch out. Let's see. Here's the second fortune. Here's the pieces falling in the tray. I'm opening the fortune on the Savage Nation. The star of riches is shining on you this month. Very nice. Very good. So life is good. Yeah, my life just changed for the better because of two Chinese fortunes. How do you like that? Look, if I can't have a little fun on the radio, what's the point of doing it? I mean, isn't that true? Now I have to put the mic muff back on because I'll pop my peas and whatever. Unless I put the mic, listen to it, go back on now. Wait a minute, this is supposed to be unprotected talk. So I'm going to take the mic muff off the microphone. So now we have two elements of unprotected talk. I am now speaking on radio for the first time in 20 years without a muffler over the microphone. And I am taking calls that are unscreened. Unprotected talk when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I saw him live in the Apollo Theater when I was not even born yet. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I did. I mean, when I was a kid, the race relations were better then than they are now. How come they were better when I was a kid than they are now with all of the Great Society and the first black president? People hate each other. Man against woman, woman against man, old against young, young against old, black against white, white against black, Hispanic against black. I've never seen anything like it. Oh, I wonder how it happened. I wonder who, badoo, who wrote the book of hate. Chapter 1 says you divide them with all your heart. You know, you get the picture. Robert likes they. See, I have Skype here, which has changed my show for the better because I got two younger guys to look at down in Dallas. I'm in San Francisco, and if I do something I like, I can see they actually smile. If they don't like it, they fall asleep into their pizza, but they're enjoying the show right now. And so am I, and as you know, it's a new format on the Savage Nation, which is unprotected talk. And today I've added a new element to unprotected talk. Not only are the calls not screened, but I am no longer screened. I've been working with a mic. You know, if you're in the business, what a mic muff is? It's a like a filter screen that goes over the metallic microphone head itself. And it's like a weird thing to look at. It's always bothered me. They collect Chinese food, pumpkin seeds. I mean, everything gets caught in them. So when you go into a radio station, the first thing you do is you bring in your own mic muff unless you want to die. So, or you put them in a microwave. People have put, you know, Jim, people have put them in microwaves to sterilize them. Have you known that? That's an old radio trick. But since I basically work on my own in my own hidden locations, I have my own, but I still don't like them. So I took it off. So you're hearing my voice in a new way today, probably. If you missed any of what happened in the first hour, I announced the scholarships that I promised I would put together. I've been trying to do it since 2008 or 2009, but because I'd been distracted, I was unable to do it. But today I announced the Savage Paul Revere Society's What Does It Mean to Be an American essay contest, in part. Tomorrow will be the formal announcement. The link will be up on michaelsavage.com, where you can actually start applying as of January 15th, but you can read the rules tomorrow or send them to a deserving young person in your family or a distant relative or friend. And that's something. It's $10,000 a year for 2 years, which is $20,000 per winner times five winners, $100,000 I'm giving away in 2014 in order to promote the love for America. What else can I say? It's not that complicated. There are many young people who love this country, but they don't know what to do because if they apply for a scholarship, they can't even express that. They have to hide their love for America. So I figure by starting this little program with $100,000 seed money, let's see where it goes after 2014, and we could always augment it. Anyway, more about that tomorrow on the Savage Nation, trying to make the world a little better place each day. You know the big news, which is the top banana named John Boehner has basically capitulated to Obama, and there was a revolution in the mix. They tried to throw him out, and they lost. And as a result, the true conservatives are now marginalized, and the most telling picture of all is on the top of the Drudge Report. You see Boehner holding on to Pelosi, looking like a little boy who's being held by Big Mama. Big Mama Pelosi is really still running the show, apparently, and she, when she cracks her whip or slams her gavel down, the clown top banana does what he's told. He was narrowly reelected Speaker. It was the biggest default against the Speaker in 100 years, but they lost. The coup, the palace coup, failed. And now Pelosi is firmly in charge with Boehner as her stooge. You can expect what in the next year? You can expect vetoes. In other words, when Boehner the fake actually does something that we want done, he will go to Obama first and say, look, I got to do it, but you can always veto it, and we'll never follow up with a vote. I can guarantee you we won't. So that's going to be the game that they're going to play in 2014. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Two NYPD officers were shot and wounded in the Bronx because of their reluctance to fire back quickly enough as a result of the sensitivity to race put into their heads by DiBlasio, by Sharpton, by Obama, and by Holder, in my opinion. In fact, The headline now is officer in shootout, not happy about the bloody-o hospital visit. No, this mayor has to go. There's no question about it. The mayor has destroyed the police department in New York, and it's only the beginning of a crime wave that will occur in that city because of this communist regime that is now ruling the roost in Manhattan. We now begin hour number two, 855-407-282 is the phone number, but don't call it. Don't frustrate yourself. As usual, the unprotected talk is so popular, we're jammed up with callers. And I'll let you take the bus in any direction you want it to go in. Let's start with line one. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was calling. I actually called up just to get an email. I wanted to reach out to you. Earlier, you had mentioned in your scholarship that you wanted to leave the world a better place than you had found it. And that, you know, a lot of things that you may do from day to day go and you don't even know. Like, I live in Michigan, and as of, you know, 7 years ago, I was, you know, a very questionable character. You know, I did whatever I wanted. I didn't care who it affected. And a friend of mine put me up on your show, and I started listening. And, you know, it really, something in what you said just resonated somewhere deep inside, and it really changed my life.
Well, what do you mean? You were kind of a wild person, and you didn't give a damn about anything. Is that it?
I was straight up just, you know, I was a gang member growing up in Detroit.
Well, maybe you had to be. Maybe you had to be in order to survive.
Well, I was white in Detroit, in the hood. It was rough, you know, so I grew up with that, and I did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. You have to be three times as crazy as anybody else in Detroit if you're white growing up, you know?
No, I can relate to it. I understand, but What is it that what's changed in your life? You say you listen to me, you got a different sense of values, patriotism, whatever it may be. So how have you changed your life?
You know, I have a 4-year-old son now that I'm not just, you know, I didn't bother him. I'm a dad. You know,
that's
I have
right.
a family now.
Well, but everything changed. Listen, you don't credit me. Credit yourself because the child changed your life. You know, and I know that when a person has a child, you look in that child's arms, that little helpless infant. Every protective instinct in every cell of your body suddenly flexes its muscles. Isn't that correct?
You are 100% correct in that, but I found your show a year before my son was even thought about. You know, it was listening to your show. I read a friend of mine gave me one of your books. Didn't even have the cover on it. It was just like ripped and the first few pages were gone. And, you know, he was like, oh, man, look, check this out. You probably like this. And as I read it, and I thought, what I liked about your writing style was that you made it entertaining for me. Like, I could read it, and I didn't feel like it was a college textbook.
Was a few books ago. I think it's where I included a lot of family stories to start each chapter, right? I think I know which book you're referring to.
Yeah, it was excellent because you were filling me with knowledge, but you made it accessible, like where I could digest it right away.
Well, that's what I try to do on the radio show. In other words, when I get a little too hammery or didactic or professorial, you know, it turns people off, I think.
Right. Well, you know, it was rough, but, you know, now, you know, 7 years later, you know, I still listen to your show. I have a small business, you know, I have a family, I'm able to, you know, I pay my bills, and instead of taking advantage of other people, you know, I'm able to give back.
Well, how does it feel? You know, how does it feel to be this way instead of the other way?
You know, to be honest, it's a lot harder this way.
Well, that's honest. Well, there you go. So why do you continue to be good rather than bad?
You know, because it feels good. Even though it's
but wait a minute, you just answered the question two ways. You said it's harder. I had asked you how it feels, and you said it's harder. Then you said it feels good, though.
It is. It's a double-edged sword. You know, it feels good to leave that behind and leave.
In other words, you probably were raised with a conscience by someone. Was that someone in your family, or where'd you get that conscience that's now activated?
My grandparents. You know, I was raised mostly by my grandparents. My mom, not to, you know, she was she had alcohol issues. My dad was always gone. So my grandparents intermediately would, you know, raise me, you know.
But they must have put some they must have given you the values, right?
They tried. They tried, but I was so out of control back then that, you know, what they said, I never thought really registered, but it did soak in, you know, where it really mattered, because eventually, you know, when things, you know, when it's hard to explain, you know, there was just, like I said, I wouldn't even think twice. If you dropped your wallet and were walking, I would pick it up and put it right in my pocket and, you know, dip the other way. But
yeah.
It was
So you're a man with a conscience now, so and you feel better about yourself in plain English, right?
I can go to sleep and not have to worry anymore. You know, I'm not
worry about what?
Well, I don't have to worry about the police knocking. If the police knock on my door, it's because they're looking for somebody other than me.
Oh, that's good. That's almost a show tune. If the police are knocking at my door, it's because they're looking for someone else. It's a long title to a song, but I'll tell you, B.B. King could probably put that in one of his lyrics, don't you think?
You know, B.B. King can probably put something to anything. Really?
Yeah, that's something that a blues singer can do something with. If the police are knocking at your door, they're probably looking for someone else. I could almost write a song about that myself. Well, I want to thank you very much for your heartfelt salutations, and I want to wish you luck in your life. It seems to me like you got great control over yourself, and I want to send you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War with the cover on. And with the first few pages intact. So stay on the line, and thanks for listening on WJR in Detroit, Michigan. People in Detroit say Detroit, I believe. People who don't live in Detroit say Detroit. But I believe those who live there say Detroit. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
My knee.
All right, thank you very much. This song is dedicated to Barack Obama. Welcome to the program. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We now return to protected talk because I have to put the mic muff back on. It'll only be unprotected from the point of view of you calling me, but I'm popping my peas, if you please. So here goes the mic muff. I'm back to protected talk from my side and unprotected talk from your side. I don't want to contract any kind of verbal disease. I mean, we can only kick this metaphor around a little bit, you know, not too much. All right, let's see. Line number 5. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Line 5, counting 1, 2, 3 by. Line 2, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What is with the no calls here? I don't get this. I'm going to have to cancel this if this keeps up. I'll try one more, then we're going to go to screen calls. When I call your number or your name, you got to be ready to go. Line 1, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Bobby from Mandeville, Louisiana.
Yes, sir. Which station are you listening on?
I have to stream you because you're not handled locally here in New Orleans anymore.
I was on New Orleans. I love New Orleans, Bobby. So what's on your mind today?
Well, there was an article on Breitbart this morning about the professors at Harvard. They're all complaining and squawking about they're going to get thrown in with the Obamacare stuff now, and their premiums and their deductibles are going up, and I just thought that was so pricey.
Yeah, well, they didn't think it would affect them at Harvard, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. And also, I live in Scalise's district here.
And
The people out here just brainwashed. He virtually ran unopposed, and they got Democrats coming out for him, obviously because he's going the way
they're trying to make him into a racist, evil man because he spoke to a group 12 years ago that they don't approve of.
Yeah, but he's no conservative, trust me.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So how far away from New Orleans do you live?
I'm right across the lake, about 25 miles away. I was crazy in New Orleans, though. But
do you get down to the city much?
Try not to.
Oh, it's still pretty rough down there at night, huh?
Well, it's just more laid back where I'm at. It's more peaceful and whatnot, you know. And
well, you're older, you see. You've reached that point of the rocking chair, I guess, across the lake.
Exactly.
Anyway, my friend, thanks for calling. I mean, I was a visitor to New Orleans for the Super Bowl when I was there, whenever it was, a year or so ago, 2 years now. And, you know, I walked in a dream world. So, you know, when you're in a city as a visitor, you don't really see the city. You're just lucky if you don't get knocked off. I made a mistake. I stayed to halftime. If you remember the story, my son flew me there, and because he's a sports guy, he loves sports, as most Americans do, and he's smarter than I am, so he must know more than I do about these things. And I can only sit through a half of the game. I couldn't take any more. I think it was Beyonce singing, frankly, that got me out of there. So halftime comes. The seats are crazily expensive, and I said, look, I got to leave. I can't. Okay, go find that. She says, how are you going to get back to the hotel? I said, I don't know. I'll find a cab. I walk out. It's a ghost town. Nobody is outside this huge stadium in New Orleans. Nobody. And it was around dusk. And I said, you know, this is not good because this is a pretty rough city. I start to walk and walk. And I said, you know, this is stupid, Michael. You better have a guardian angel because you got no way to protect yourself here. Walk, walk, walk. No taxis, no nothing. Out of the blue comes a pedicab. A kid shows up in a pedicab like an angel sent it. He said, it'll be $20, $10 to the hotel. I said, I'll give you $20. Step on the pedals. No, look, it was luck. But as I say yesterday with the dogs yesterday, the press of Canarias that almost tore Teddy to pieces and me, I think an angel stepped in, frankly. And I hope I haven't used up my angel quotient. I can use them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. It's 34 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation. We have breaking news out of New York that's kind of sad. But the attack on the police, yes, it is breaking news. Because the Sandinista-loving mayor of New York, who attacked the police relentlessly for months on end, along with Al Sharpton, along with Eric Holder, have so intimidated the New York Police Department, the cops are now reluctant to fire back unless first fired upon. And as a result, two cops were now shot in the Bronx this morning. And one of the cops wounded did not like the fact that the loose-lipped mayor, DiBlasio, visited him in the hospital. He's a wonderful man. His name is Dossi. D-O-S-S-I, and he's a true American hero. He is Army Airborne. He's a reservist and a true, you know, war veteran. And he was getting ready to redeploy to, he's a reservist. He's an Iraq war veteran, Army Airborne reservist. And the NYPD officer was shot by the vermin, was scheduled to go to Africa in a few weeks. But now his career may be over. The hero cop's dad said, choking back tears, the doctor just told me the bullet in his back just missed the spine. He was shot in the left arm and the arm just doesn't look good. The doctor expects a full recovery, but that arm, I just hope that doesn't affect his career. He's Army Airborne. He can't jump out of airplanes with a messed up arm. Thank you very much, Mayor de Blasio. You've done a fine job of intimidating the police, who are now afraid to shoot a perp for fear that you and that rat, Al Sharpton, will jump down their throats screaming racism. It's only going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. But our hearts go out to Andrew Dossi and his partner, both of whom were shot as a result of the intimidation put into their trigger finger by the loose-lipped mayor and his minions of racial agitators. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back to take your calls right here, right now, on the Savage Nation. Let's go to line 6. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Raymond Kelly, Atlanta, Georgia, calling. I'm streaming from DBQ, Adele Valdosta. I'm calling about Cynthia McKinney, who has now decided to join with some Black Panther members to join a police terrorism group. Have you heard of that, Dr. Savage?
No, sir. Tell us about it.
Well, if you remember, she was a lunatic representative here in Georgia in the DeKalb area, and she joined forces right after, I believe it was when, the last got it, Obama just killed in Africa, the leader over there, but she's now just come out of the woodworks to join, like I said, with the Black Panther Party.
But is she still an active member of Congress?
No, she's not. That's why I say she is.
Oh, so she's out of, so she joined the real radical fanatics now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So she's showing her true nature. What was really under the surface was racial enmity.
Yes, sir. Your intro coming out of the break was led right into what I wanted to say, and she's going to help stoke the flame, so you may be hearing about her on a national level.
Well, this is the thing, because they started the big lie that white cops are looking to shoot black people, which turns out to be statistically untrue, as we all know. They're intimidated to shoot people of color. White people are shot first, incidentally, according to the studies that we reported today. It's a big lie, and all it's going to do is make all the rest of us less safe than we already are, because the police are intimidated right now as a result of Barack Obama and the others who are in the stoking of the racial enmity game. Line 4, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Scott. I'm calling from Columbus, Montana. And Dr. Savage, I'd just like to say it's an honor. The reason I'm calling is I'd like to apologize to the rest of the nation for what Montana has done to this nation.
What has Montana done to me?
Max Baucus.
And what has Max Baucus done to you?
Well, Max Baucus was the head of the Senate Finance Committee when the bill, the Affordable Care Act, was pushed through. And, you know, being Obama's Ken doll at the time, when he was asked after the bill had passed if he had read it, and Max Baucus had not read a page of the bill. About 2.5 years ago, Max Baucus was the first person to come out and say, hey, this is going to be a train wreck. And he was soon thereafter encouraged to retire and soon thereafter given the ambassadorship to China and shipped off to China.
Oh, well, he must make a lot of money at that one.
Well, I'm sure he is. I just find it rather interesting for the fact that he was in charge of how the bill was presented to the rest of the Senate and the Congress.
Fact is that Baucus is not alone in his deceptions. We have it right now from Boehner. He's virtually the same as Baucus, isn't he? Boehner just told everyone to vote for the bills that he's putting forward, and they'll find out what's in them after they put them in place.
Well, he's the Ken doll, basically, is what I look at it as.
All right, I hear you. But don't apologize to us for the representatives that we don't have. We're now moving on to the next caller on the Savage Nation, Line 7. What's your topic name, city? Okay. Line 1, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my name is Oasis. I'm calling out of Lansing, WJIM. My topic is, I guess, global warming. I really just wanted to get, kind of pick your brain on the wording used by the French foreign minister when he said we have 500 days to prepare for a global abyss or a climate abyss, I believe.
Yeah, well, anything the French ambassadors say, I think you've got to take with a grain of cheese. Yeah, how many days do we have left till the world melts down? What, do we have 400 days left till we're all dead?
A bit is just not something, you know.
Well, let me give you the facts, because I did it last week when everyone was away, and I know more about this than anyone in radio, in the fact that I am trained in science and can read the literature, but you don't have to be more than a sixth grade in education to understand what I'm about to say. Common sense would tell you that man is not causing climate change, that historically the climate has changed numerous times, and I can give you a few facts. Now, this is not to argue that I want more pollution. I've worked all my life for less pollution. But unless you went to the fifth grade in the same school as Wolf Blitzer and Sean Penn, you remember the ice ages that preceded us on the planet, right? Now, even if you went to elementary school, you could follow this, even if you're a communist at heart. How can you explain the fact that there were 6 ice ages which disappeared prior to the Middle Ages? Where these ice ages come from? Well, we don't know where they came from, but we know man didn't cause the ice ages. No, but man didn't cause the melting of the ice either. As we all know, in the Middle Ages, ice started to proceed down into Europe. That's where our Alps come from today. In fact, it's important for you to know that the ice was moving down into Europe at such an alarming rate in the 1500s, I believe, that priests would stand before moving icebergs in Sweden and make prayers to Jesus and God, holding crosses before the flowing ice, the moving ice, praying for the ice to be stopped from moving farther south. Well, of course, the prayers didn't stop the ice from moving farther south. The ice just moved south for a certain period of time as the ice grew. And then the Earth did its thing. It corrected itself and a warming phase kicked in. Global warming occurred in the Middle Ages. And I remind you, this was 200 years or more before the Industrial Revolution. So how do you answer that we had global warming before the Industrial Revolution? The answer is plain to those who have common sense. There was a natural cycle, as there is now, of cooling and warming. In fact, there have been many cycles of cooling and warming. In fact, with the next piece of information I'm about to give you, you'll understand more about this subject than you ever knew before. And that is about the ice cores that were pulled out of the Earth. And as I said to you a few minutes ago about the ice ages, how did they disappear if there was no industrialization? Well, let's look at the ice itself to try to figure this out. And that is something that was done by some scientists a while ago. And that was done in the Vostok Lake region of Antarctica by, I think, Russian and French scientists. And what they did was they drilled down, I think, 10,000 feet into the ice in Antarctica. And they pulled up these ice cores and they looked at them. And by analyzing the ice cores, they found out the following. And the article's head was 420,000 years of data suggests global warming is not entirely man-made, if at all. And they refer, as I just mentioned, to the Vostok station in the Antarctic. And after drilling into the ice core down to a level of 10,000 feet, which is almost 2 miles long, they found that global temperatures varied 420,000 years ago. 2 miles into the Earth, ice core pulled up from the Antarctic. They look at the ice core and they see that over the years, it's like tree rings. They found out that global temperatures varied. But most importantly, the ice core showed that carbon dioxide increases in the atmosphere is not the cause of the increased temperatures that we might have seen in this century. It might play a small role, but it's not a major role. It also shows that this deep drilling down into the ice core in the Antarctic, 10,000 feet down into the ice, that this cyclical pattern I mentioned, which occurs with warming and cooling, is a pattern. In other words, it's not man-made. It's a natural cyclical pattern. And it shows that there are cycles that last about 110,000 years. And there were several cycles over the last 420,000 years in which there was a change in climate. So what causes this? Well, we don't know exactly. I mean, there have been theories about volcanic activity, sunspots, etc. I don't want to go into every detail, but you've got to know this. This process of cooling and warming has been going on for at least the past 420,000 years, according to the data at this one site at Vostok. It's very important you know that CO2 has nothing to do with global warming. You'll see that 325,000 years ago, long before Al Gore's great-grandfather was even a glint in his own great-grandfather's eye, roughly 325,000 years ago, based on this Vostok data, not on the Pope's data, the Earth was at the peak of a warm interglacial period. Warm period, 325,000 years ago. Did you know that 325,000 years ago, global temperatures and carbon dioxide levels were higher than they are today? Put that into your academic pipes and smoke them along with your medical marijuana. Did you know any of this? I guess Barack Obama didn't get any of this information when he was at Columbia learning how to become a rabble-rouser. 325,000 years ago, global temperatures and CO2 levels were higher than they are today. And right now, we're at the peak end of a kind of the end of another warm interglacial period. And all of us who are educated and have studied science and can read the data know that we're actually heading into another ice age period of cooling, where global temperatures will drop and ice will again form quite heavily at the poles, which is happening right now. The Antarctic had the greatest growth of ice in a very long period of time. You can study this or research it on your own quickly on the internet. And that's what I wanted to tell you right now on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I can tell you exactly where I was when the song was big. 1956, Uncle's Plymouth, not a Fury. Fury didn't come out till 59, I think. It was a pink Plymouth. We were driving around on Route 42 in the Catskill Mountains. I was a little kid, and we came upon a car crash that was fresh while the Shabub Shabub song was big, and people were laying all over the road. I mean, it's a pretty shocking thing for a kid to see. It looked like a plane wreck, but it was a car wreck. They had just turned over in a ditch. People were moaning and laying in the ditches, and that's when the Shabub Shabub song came out. There's nothing more to say about it other than, you know, these were immigrant people that I grew up with, and they were afraid of authorities. Instead of stopping to help, I guess they wouldn't have known what to do either. I mean, if you ask them how to make a brisket, they would know how to do it. If you would have asked them how to make a meatloaf, they would have known how to do it. You know, they didn't know how to help. What would they do if they help anyway? What could they do? They figured if they got out, they're liable to hurt somebody or get arrested for having being confused by the New York State Police for having done it. So he slowed down, and we looked, and he drove on. And I was as a kid even, I wanted to jump out and do something. Well, what could I have done? What would I have known what to do? I mean, I was only a Cub Scout. I wasn't even a Boy Scout. Hey, do we have that sound thing I asked for from that movie I saw last night? Speaking about, it's a movie I saw last night called Age of Heroes with Sean Bean, who's actually one of my favorite action heroes, not well known in America. Sean Bean in the movie Age of Heroes. You got to look for this movie. I saw it on Showtime last night. It's about the real Ian Fleming and his band of 30 men who were commandos, early British commandos in World War II on a raid in Norway to knock out a German radar station and literally capture some secret equipment. Now, remember what this is about. These are British men. This was the formation of the original SAS, the Strategic Air Services, known to be one of the most, well, let's say amongst other groups that are the toughest men in the world. The most disciplined tough men. There are tougher men, or men just as tough who are not disciplined. They're called criminals. But these are unique men. These are very disciplined, very tough men. Think about their training to make them tough enough to literally walk into Finland, take on an elite group of SS ski troops, which they had to do. Think about that. The Germans didn't use weak men. They used very good men. And they blew up the tower, losing men along the way, and see the brutality of the SS killing an entire farm family who gave them some food on the way. It's heartbreaking to watch. And then they get in a shootout, and some of them get back. Only a few escape. And the submarine that's supposed to pick them up is not available. They get the bad news after this great adventure that they have to walk from Finland into Sweden over the icy terrain. A true story. Unbelievable true story. The Age of Heroes, or Age of Heroes. If you want inspiration and you want to stop complaining about your bad back and that what ails you, and remember how tough the human being can be, I recommend it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the new Savage Nation, which is really the old Savage Nation. The only difference is it's 2015 and I've initiated something new called Unprotected Talk, which is the fact that anyone can get on the show now, meaning I don't know who you are. And did you notice in the past most of the callers came out of the big cities and now you're hearing people from obscure cities, they're getting on? And I think that's interesting because we tend to be flooded by callers out of New York, Detroit, Washington, D.C. on MAL, San Francisco, KSFO, BAP in Dallas, and all the other big cities and stations. And we have forgotten that there's another nation out there of people. Is that a cat in your hand, Robert? Oh, you're playing with a sock puppet. Sorry. That's the problem with Skype. I can see what the guys are doing. In the past, they could get away with anything they wanted. But so anyway, 855-407-2822. When I call out your number and say line four, you're on. Please be ready. Now, here's a little news story for you from the Washington Post. The American love of lawsuits is forcing cities to ban sledding and ruin winter. The latest city to ban sledding is Dubuque, Iowa. Dubuque, Iowa, where the city council is moving ahead with a plan to ban sledding in all but two of its 50 parks. You can guess why. Lawyers. Lawyers in sledding lawsuits in the past decade, such as a $2 million judgment against Omaha, Nebraska, after a five-year-old girl was paralyzed when she hit a tree, and a $2.75 million payout when a man in Sioux City, Iowa, slid into a sign and injured his spinal cord. This is a result of too many people who don't have the brains to do anything else who become lawyers and realize it's just a license to steal without using a 9mm or a Glock. I'm sure there are 9mm Glocks, but they're generally 40mm Glocks, I think. So in other words, if you don't have the guts to use a 40mm or a 9mm, what you do is you go to law school and you sue cities for kids and parents who unfortunately sled into trees. Or you sue businesses that create products that everyone wants and you say that there was a piece of cat hair in it. Or you, let's say you invent lawsuits about racism or sexism or homophobia. And what you do is you sue the New York Police Department and you become a spokesman on MSNBC. This is all because of the out-of-control legal system. It's not going to change soon, not with the top banana now reelected to the House of Representatives, John Bonehead. I can guarantee you one thing with Unprotected Talk. I will not take you over the Grand Canyon of lies. Let's begin now with line number six. Give us your name, please, and city.
Tell me, Professor Calamaro. I'm calling GMBA Radio. That's Goomba Radio. My name's Giovanni.
Wait. You got my attention. You're listening on Goomba Radio in which city?
It's an undisclosed location.
Come on now. You're pulling my leg, but go ahead.
No, I'm calling from D.C.
Yeah. So you listen on MAL. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen. Now I've talked to you about this before, and you've talked about war dogs. I want to cover a couple of things if we could of history. You talked about war dogs a couple of times. Now I know Harris Dunn, and I was going to try to contact him and have him call in your radio station and talk to you about that movie, because I know that's near and dear to your heart.
Which one? You mean the movie War Dogs?
War Dogs of the Pacific.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. It was a great, great movie. I loved it.
Yeah, he's made two of them. He's a doctor.
So what's your latest point on this subject?
The other subject, nothing new. I just was going to contact Harris Dunn. I know him and have him call you.
All right, that's good. Now, I if you like movies on the heroic level, heroic dogs or men, this movie, Age of Heroes, with Sean Bean, a British actor, is amazing. Did you hear me talk about it in the last hour?
Oh, you know, there's...
That's the one. So listen, guys, listen to me. This movie, did you ever read the Ian Fleming spy novels? He was a real man. He was a British commando. Did you know that? And this movie is about the creation of the original band of British commandos who later developed into their equivalent of Special Forces or SAS. It's an astounding story, a true story. And let's play the Age of Heroes trailer. Let's hear what it sounds like in clip number one, Robert.
I have set up a commando unit.
An elite smash-and-grab team working behind enemy lines.
Officially, you won't even exist. You're the first of a new breed.
Morning, gentlemen. Is Abby on board? Do you want to see some action?
Yes, Sergeant!
Gentlemen, here are in for one big surprise.
Operation Grendel.
This raid and its success will define all future operations. Any questions?
Opposition.
General Dietl's 5th Alpine Division.
Are they any good, sir?
Yes, very.
So are we.
There are people in Whitehall who want your head.
I won't let you down.
No, you won't.
We are masters of our own fate.
We live in an age of honor. And with honor comes duty and sacrifice.
God forgive me.
No!
That's it. I love that line. We live in an age of honor. With honor comes duty. Did you hear that one? When have you last heard lines like that spoken from Barack Obama or John Boehner? I don't think they know what an age of honor means. They live in an age of deception. So anyway, that's a great movie. Very inspirational. I use movies like this to spur me on, to keep me going when there's nothing left of me to keep going except the voice that says keep on going. I'm not there yet. I've been there and back. I'm not there today. I feel very good, thank God. But the fact of the matter is, it's quite an adventure movie that I highly recommend, especially for people with young children who are looking for a little inspiration, so to speak. Let's go to the callers. We're going to go all the way down the line from 1 to 9. Let's go to line 9. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, please?
Max, New Haven, Connecticut, WDRC.
Bingo. There's a man who can say it like it is, Max. So what's on your mind?
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Your opinion, TWA Flight 800, July 17th, 1996. I recently read a book about it. I didn't know if you ever had a comment on it, Dr. Savage.
I probably don't remember that incident. Which flight was that?
It had taken off from LaGuardia, I believe, and it was over Long Island Sound.
Oh, that one. We covered that in those days. There were theories that it was shot down by one of our own anti-aircraft missiles by mistake.
Yep. A friend of mine was out fishing that evening, and he did say what a lot of folks said, that he thought he saw a missile go from the horizon up to the sky.
No, I read a lot of reports like that. What, it was 96, did you say?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I remember. You're bringing it back to me now. I was on the radio. I was a local host. It was a big story at that time. Hey, last to learn what they really are, don't you think?
I read a book by Nelson DeMille about it recently with his fictional character, John Corey, and you do remind me of John Corey a bit, Dr. Savage.
Uh-oh. I like Nelson DeMille's books a lot. And he's inspired me to write my novels in some way. Jack Hatfield, have you ever read Abuse of Power or A Time for War?
Yeah, yes, I have.
Well, I got good news for everyone listening. I really haven't announced it yet, but along the year, I had nothing else to do other than do a daily show and write Stop the Coming Civil War. Over the last year or so, I've been writing the third in the series, maybe the last, and it's coming out in March from St. Martin's Press. So all you fans better grab the last of the series because you're going to love it. It's going to be quite a ride. Now, what is this character that I allegedly remind you of? What's his name? Hello? Gone? Yes, the call. Are you still there? I think he's gone, but thank you for the call. 855-407-282. We now move to line 5. What's on your mind, my friend?
Michael, Gary, Smithtown, Long Island, WABC.
Now, that's clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. So what's on your mind, Gary?
Thank you. Topic. My son is in the Middle East killing ISIS right now as an F-16 pilot.
Oh, you are my hero's hero.
Speaking of tough guys, he's a tough guy.
How did you produce a pilot's son? I want to hear about it.
I produced a pilot's son because he's incredibly intelligent. He was a fun kid, really fun kid. He liked adventure. We sailed together, and he wanted to be a pilot, so he went to the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, but in this age where the feminists have poisoned the atmosphere for our military and police, did he have to face any of that in school along the way? I guarantee you the nanny state had tried to turn him into some kind of sissy.
You know, he's never a sissy. He's a sweet
No, I didn't say they did. But I was implying that the sissification of our men has been ongoing for quite a while now. How did he overcome all of those influences?
Desire. His desire to fly. His best friend crashed 2 weeks ago and died because of maintenance was not done properly because of cutbacks.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. They need the money for pensions for the generals in the Pentagon.
Yeah, he
and, of course, they need the money for diversity training in the Air Force now.
Yes. He says that ISIS could be wiped out if they gave them the green light.
Oh, I'm sure of it. They could bomb them off the planet.
Absolutely.
So why is Obama not bombing them off the planet is the question. Ask John Boehner. I'm sure he'll give us the honest answer.
Who knows? Fear. Maybe it's the sissy mentality you were talking about.
I don't know. Maybe it's something more nefarious than that.
Who knows, but he can't even tell me what country he's flying out of. I ask him if he can tell you that, Dad. because...
So he's flying the F-16, huh?
F-16, yes. He's going to be trading the F-35 soon because they're going to get rid of the F-16s pretty soon.
Well, that's beautiful, and it's men like you who have created the spinal column for America. Let me send you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm sure that you'll enjoy it, and thank you very much. 855-407-282. That opens up one line. Better grab it while you can. Line 3. Time for one quick call. What's on your mind, my friend?
Dr. Savage, this is Michael Chandler.
And which city are you in?
Outside of Little Reach, Georgia.
Okay, and what's on your mind?
I want to know what Dr. Savage thinks about utilitarian bioethics.
Interesting. Utilitarian bioethics, meaning apply ethics to something with a utilitarian mentality, correct?
Medical, yes.
You mean if it's good, use it irrespective of ethical considerations?
Well, sir...
No, I think that's what you're saying, meaning that the end justifies the means. So if you're gonna harvest fetal tissue for biomedical use, pay no attention to the abortions, is what you're saying.
Or older people that they don't consider to be worth saving.
I understand. You're talking about the Gruber school of Obamacare.
Yes, sir.
Well, what do I think of it? I think it's a horrible thing to let people die because you don't want to pay for their health care.
Right.
Why would we want to pay for the health care of non-citizens and let Americans who are natural citizens die because you want to starve them of any funds? Why? What kind of country is that?
Well, sir, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, I hear the sadness in your voice. We all feel the same way. I'm glad you framed it as utilitarian bioethics because there's another name for that, and it's called Nazism. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is 24 minutes after the hour, still going strong, Michael Savage. Unprotected talk. Here's some headlines. Cuban dissident still jailed despite U.S. deal. Cuba is still one of the world's most repressive nations on earth, despite Barack Obama's long hand of the unlawful. And the dissidents who were supposed to be released have not been released. Another story on MichaelSavage.com. Iranian general says our ultimate goal is the destruction of America and Israel. Thank you very much, Barack Obama, for reducing sanctions on Iran and for imposing them on Israel. The world is upside down under Boehner, Obama, Obama, Boehner, Boehner, Obama, O'Boner. I mean, let's call him O'Boner, O'Boehner. Barack Hussein O'Boehner would be appropriate today. Here's some good news. ISIS chief executioner found beheaded with cigarette in his mouth in Syria. Apparently, what goes around comes around. And the chief executioner for this vile group of Islamo-fascists has been found with his head cut off. And with the insult of a cigarette in his mouth. You see, the Islamo-fascists think it's okay to rape women and enslave people, but it's against their Islamic law to smoke cigarettes. They say that smoking is slow suicide and demands, quote, that every smoker should be aware that with every cigarette he smokes in a state of trance and vanity is disobeying God. They're very good people. In fact, America's liberals, the anti-smoking liberals, probably would find great accord with ISIS. Well, at least regard to the cigarettes. Well, anyway, he was found with his head cut off. Well, let's say his head was found without a body with a cigarette in his mouth. And there was a little note on his head that said something. I don't know what the note said, but someone got even with him. I wonder who cut his head off over there in Syria. They're not saying. ISIS chief executioner found beheaded with a cigarette in his mouth. So somebody got to him. An Islamic State executioner in Syria, a man who carried out all the beheadings for the jihadist group, has been found with his head cut off. The body of the Egyptian man, known to be the deputy emir of the feared El Hespa force in the eastern province of Deir el-Zor, was recovered near a power plant in Al-Mayadeen City, according to the Syrian Observatory of Human Rights. The corpse showed signs of torture and carried this message. This is evil, you sheik, written on it. And there's nothing more I can say about it other than God sees the truth but waits. One day I'd like to wake up to see that there's 300 air raids overnight and that the scourge on the planet is immediately eliminated. Let's go to line number three. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm calling from WFDM Tallahassee.
Yes, sir.
On Cuba, and forgive me if this is a stretch, but I've learned not to underestimate anything this regime does. Do you think this is a the opening of relations with Cuba is a slow process towards annexing Cuba, sort of like a Puerto Rico?
I have no comment on that. God help us when it becomes the 51st state of Cuba. Do we get the Castro brothers thrown in as governors? I don't know. It might be appealing to Obama. Just think of the immediate welfare, the increase in the welfare rolls. It might be perfect. Then you got the cigars, you got the sugar cane. I mean, what more could you ask for? Repression? It's perfect for Obama. He should consider it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yep. It's a big world out there. So you say, well, if we can't do anything about the political structure, what's the point of listening to talk radio? Well, we can do an awful lot about a lot of other things as well. Here you have a flu vaccine that's only 30% effective, and yet the idiot in charge of the NIH tells you to get the shot anyway. Now, would you know that unless I explained it to you in detail? No. I can help you with health, science, poetry, art, literature. I can help you with a lot of things in the sense that I'm interested in a lot of things and I've studied a lot of things, and I have something to offer on a lot of things. When it comes to politics, yeah, I have insights. I can tell you what's going on. But as we see, it's almost futile. We're living in a despotic oligarchy. We may as well be living in a, I was going to say banana republic, but it really is a Baina republic. Baina and banana are kind of a synonym for each other today. But Baina is the top banana, whether you like him or not. And the top banana is a Baina, or the top Baina is a banana. You may as well be talking to a banana as talk to Baina. John Boehner was not really recently elected by the people, for the people, and of the people to be Speaker of the House. He is nothing but a man who works with the established structure that is in place. And you can expect there will be new taxes, new regulations, and new controls over the taxpayer. You will expect that the debt will continue to go through the roof under John Boehner. You will expect the oligarchy will continue to answer to the Wall Street powers that truly run the country. Meanwhile, in New York, two New York police officers have been shot and wounded in the Bronx. They were responding to an armed robbery. They got into a gun battle, and they were shot. Why do you suppose the police officers were shot? It's because they thought before shooting. In the past, they would have shot first if they were being shot at. They would have returned fire more quickly, is what I'm saying. But because of the Bloody-O, and because of Holder, and because of Obama, they're more hesitant to fire back. They're getting shot. They're getting killed. And so this is what happens in a lawless society run by lawless men. There's an article today in the Washington Times that goes to this subject. The real racial bias. Cops more willing to shoot whites than blacks, research finds. Thank you, Eric Holder. You've done your job. The article is interesting. It reads like this. It's widely assumed that white police officers are more likely to shoot black suspects as a result of racial bias. But recent research suggests the opposite is true. An innovative study published in the Journal of Experimental Criminology found that participants in realistic simulations felt more threatened by black suspects, yet took longer to pull the trigger on black men than on white or Hispanic men. Thanks, Al Sharpton. This behavioral counter-bias might be rooted in people's concerns about the social and legal consequences of shooting a member of a historically oppressed racial or ethnic group, said the paper, which went practically unnoticed when it was published online on May 22nd, but has taken on new significance in the wake of a series of high-profile police-involved shootings involving black victims over the summer. The results back up what one of the researchers, University of Missouri St. Louis professor David Klinger, has found after independently interviewing more than 300 police officers. While they don't want to shoot anybody, they really don't want to shoot black suspects. Here's what he said. across these 300 interviews, I have multiple officers telling me that they didn't shoot only because the suspect was black or the suspect was a woman or something that would not be consistent with this narrative of cops out there running and gunning, said Mr. Klinger, a former cop and author of Into the Kill Zone, A Cop's Eye View of Deadly Force. He went on. He said, when it comes to the issue of race, I've never had a single officer tell me I didn't shoot a guy because he was white. I've had multiple officers tell me I didn't shoot a guy because he was black, Mr. Klinger said. And this is 10, even 20 years ago. Officers are alert to the fact that if they shoot a black individual, the odds of social outcry are far greater than if they shoot a white individual. I could go on with the article, but you can read it yourself on the Drudge Report. The fact of the matter is, it is now open season on white people and apparently closed season on other people. As a result, not only of Al Sharpton, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and the vermin in the media, but a result of many other factors as well. Again, the main story is John Boehner has survived the attempted coup by the true American conservatives who were elected, by the way, by the people. John Boehner is still Speaker of the Louse. It confirms once again what we have known forever, which is that the country is no longer a republic. It is still an oligarchy, a government of the powerful, by the powerful, and for the powerful, and that John Boehner is a tool of the establishment, meaning he and Obama are one and the same. What this tells you is that the government is immune to the people be damned. And the fact of the matter is, where does that leave us, the audience and the host of the Savage Nation in this case? How many of the people out there really know that there's even a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? The answer is they know the government is immune to them. They know that it's futile to fight City Hall. So you can imagine what it's like when you try to fight Federal Hall. The fact is, Federal Hall has never been more immune to the people than it is today. We are back where we started before the American Revolution. We may as well have a British government running America from 3,000 miles away, as well as we have Obama and Boehner running America from 1,000 miles away. I will not take you over the Grand Canyon of lies. The most telling picture of the day is to be found on the top of the Drudge Report. There is the disgrace himself, John Mantan Boehner, hugging none other than the most despicable woman in American politics, Nancy Pelosi. What does this bear hug symbolize other than he did their bidding? He went to her, he gave her a hug, and he looks like a little boy being hugged by Mama Bear. John Boehner, look at the picture. He looks like a satisfied little boy who's being hugged by the Mama Bear who really runs the show, Nancy Pelosi. So you can expect more of the same rather than less of the same. You can recognize that the election was for naught. It had no meaning whatsoever. And you can brace for taxation without representation to continue. You can also brace for an imperious president who will veto virtually any bill that might, just might, make it to his despicable desk. The fact of the matter is stocks are sinking. Why are stocks sinking? If everything's coming up roses with this oligarchy, why do you think the stock market's in the toilet? You know, I listen to these liberals talk about liberalization of immigration laws, and I know how foolish they are. They're talking in an academic fashion as though all of these immigrants come here to work, that none of them are criminals. None of them come here to suck off the welfare system. They're all just so sterling, and they're so much better than the average American, aren't they? They're going to save America. I mean, that's not the truth. The truth is that 30% of our prison population consists of illegal aliens. Why were they arrested? Because of racism? Or because they murdered someone? Or drove someone down while drunk? Or raped somebody? Or committed some other crime they finally got caught and convicted for after doing many other crimes? So you see, not all immigrants come here to work. Many come here to work the system. And don't assume that these millions that Obama and Boehner are going to bring in are any different. How in the world can you tell me that this is good for the economy when of the 100,000 or so women and children that were brought in here by the train load this summer, are they working? Can you name one of them that took a job? You mean there's now child labor in America that permits a five-year-old Guatemalan to work? You mean the illiterate mother who's 15 years old is now working somewhere? Where is she working? She's not working. It's because of the corruption of Baptist Family Services. It's because of the corruption of Catholic Charities. It's because of the corruption of the churches who were compromised by Obama that we see this massive influx of illegal aliens. And so the oligarchy is in on the fix. You know and I know Obama's going to do anything he wants. And you know and I know that Banana is not going to do anything to stop him. The Banana will simply go for a banana daiquiri in Jacksonville when it's all over and sit on his condominium deck and look out at the Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico, wherever it may be, when he retires. And he'll laugh at all the fools who thought that he represented them. And so what I say to you is today, we're going about our business. Most of us don't feel any changes really in our lives on a daily basis. But the changes are in the air and the changes are coming and they're all for the worse. They're not for good. They're for bad. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. This is the stuff that nations are made of, and this is the stuff that nations are destroyed by, which is a nation that is ruled by an oligarchy generally doesn't work out well for the people. For example, China's ruled by an oligarchy. Well, the average Chinese might say it's much better now than it was under Mao Zedong. That was an absolute dictatorship. Or you could look to North Korea. And Kim Jong-un is an absolute crazy man, a Hitler and Stalin combined. So the average North Korean knows very much what a dictatorship is. An oligarchy is a little different than a dictatorship. Sometimes there's a benignness, a benign element to an oligarchy. But when there is no benign element to an oligarchy, it becomes an absolute tyranny. You understand the difference? So right now, fact of the matter is, we're in a new phase in the history of mankind under Barack Obama, who was the first American dictator of a sort of benign variety. He marks a new phase in the history of America, a new phase in the history of mankind, because of what he is doing to reshape not only America, but the world as well. He has aggrandized more power to himself than any president in history, not for the good of America, but for the good of the special elements that selected him. There's another side note to this that I must mention. Last night, a certain TV host went on the air and said his reputation is on the line. He is going to make certain that Boehner falls. He is going to make certain that Boehner is defeated. He's going to make certain that Boehner is no longer Speaker of the House. Well, that poor TV host now has egg all over his face. He should realize that he doesn't have the power he thinks he does. It's unfortunate, but many people in radio and television think that they have tremendous powers and that their every word, their every breath is listened to by the powers that be. Have these media fools now drunk their own Kool-Aid? Do they not understand that they are powerless and that they're just marionettes and clowns and tools of the establishment as well? Again, I am the bus driver of this tour, the tour guide, if you want to put it that way. I promise you only one thing as your tour guide. I will not take you over the Grand Canyon of lies. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation, 52 minutes after the hour. The third hour is coming to an end, and I have some news for you. Those of you interested in the scholarship that I am giving away, the scholarships, the $100,000 total, $20,000 each, five winners. There's going to be a story up tonight at WorldNet Daily, WND.com, in which they will post the contest rules along with the email address posted at the same time on my website, michaelsavage.com. And so either site is fine, but my site's going to have the actual application form and the rules, whatever. And if you have a kid out there who doesn't have the money to go to college and needs some help, great. That'll be terrific. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Here are some of the headlines. Manhunt after two New York police officers shot. Apparently they caught the perps, and the cops are pretty badly wounded. They're saying that they're going to recover, but one was an airborne guy who will probably never jump out of a plane again. From NBC, we read Pope Francis to raffle off gifts he's received in the aid of the poor. That's very benevolent of him. In Germany, anti-Islamists defy Merkel in Dresden. Really? They don't want more Muslims. Interesting. In culturally diverse Amarillo, Texas, Somali refugee drives vehicle into building attempting to run people down. Well, isn't multiculturalism grand? This news from your National Institute of Health, Dr. Fauci says the flu vaccine is only about 30% effective because they made it for the wrong strain, but you should take it anyway. So why would you take it anyway? The answer is because they need to sell the vaccine to someone. They don't want to throw it into the sea. So buyer beware, caveat emptor. I wouldn't take it. I never did, and I never will. NOAA employee charged with computer breach met senior Chinese official in Beijing. I thought they were our friend. Yifan Sherry Chen, an employee of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration office in Ohio, was arrested in October and charged in a federal grand jury indictment with illegally accessing the Army's national inventory of dams. That's a sensitive database containing info on all U.S. dams. Now, why would the Chinese want information about our dams? I thought they were our benign little friends over there. They were our trading partners. Well, I guess they want access to our dams so that they can hack into the computers that run our dams and either cut off our water or flood our cities. Isn't internationalism great? How's that new world order working out for you? That's some of the headlines I wanted to talk with you about. We have time for one last call. Line 5, you're it. Fire away. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Kevin. I'm from San Francisco, and I listen to you on KSFO, and I like your new format very much.
Why do you like it? Because there's more diversity, I would assume?
Yeah, and it's just more spontaneous and interesting.
Let me know.
Okay.
Well, what's on your mind?
Oh, Sean Bean. I like him very much, especially when he plays a villain like in Patriot Games and the Bond film.
Oh, he's a great actor. He's one of the best action heroes. He's not well known in America. He's incredible. In Age of Heroes, he plays the head of that special forces unit, the SAS. Highly recommended. He's tough as nails. I'd love him to be my new Jack Hatfield. In other words, if my novels, Abuse of Power and A Time for War, and the third novel coming out this March from St. Martin's, were to be made into a movie, which is unlikely with Weinstein, Katzenberg, and Matzenberg running Hollywood, but if any of these novels were ever turned into a film, I'd love Sean Bean to be Jack Hatfield. I think he'd be perfect.
Yeah, the series I wanted to break him into was The Sharp's Rifle that he did that takes place during the Napoleonic Wars.
Unfortunately, it's only 24 seconds, 23, 22, 21, until count-off on the Savage Nation. These 3 hours have just run away. I have more energy from this new format than you could ever imagine. And I'll tell you something else. If I'm feeling invigorated from it, after 3 hours of live radio, without a slip-up, I imagine you're feeling good from these 3 hours. Thanks for listening. Savage Nation, back tomorrow, God willing.
Savage.